Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever. Wherever you are, all around the world, 24 time zones. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell, and oh my God. I mean, oh my God. Wait till you see what I've got. Now, I don't believe it. You guys aren't going to believe it. You all know, maybe you don't know, those who are just listening tonight, didn't listen last night, at shortly after 10 o'clock last night, we conducted a two-part experiment for Rush Limbaugh, who's losing his hearing, has lost actually almost all his hearing, and may lose the rest of it. And for all intents and purposes, of course, he's without hearing, he's deaf. And so I tried another grand experiment last night. We all did. All of us who were participating. Believe me, I'm about to freak you out, too. This happened like 10 minutes before the program, like so many things do. I had an incredible day today, incidentally, with Crystal Gale, and you can take a look at the pictures on the website. I've got them up right now. But what has happened? Princeton in New Jersey is monitoring these, I don't know, it's like, I better set it up properly, I guess. The system at Princeton, Richard, does what?
It measures random noise. It measures static, basically. And then it assigns numbers to that static in a computer, so you can actually read it like a graph.
Right.
And normally, nothing happens. You know, you got like a zero line that fluctuates, you know, little spikes above and below, just like grass growing. Think of it as grass on a graph. But every once in a while, when they've been looking at this now going back to 96, 97, they get these spikes, these very incredible increases that go 100 to 1 odds, 1,000 to 1 odds against chance, meaning that
sure.
Out of 100 times you would do this, only one out of those 100 times would you get that effect.
All right, well, anyway, they've got, it's not just Princeton, but it's 39 separate, essentially, we could think of them as receiving points.
Exactly, scattered all over the planet, all over the world.
Some of them outside the U.S. as well?
Oh, yeah. They're all in South America, New Zealand, China, India, Africa.
Okay, and they all feed the computer at Princeton.
Back to Princeton.
Back to Princeton. And so
200 measurements per second.
And so Princeton was ready last night. They knew that we were going to try an experiment, and so they were essentially listening, you know, like SETI might be listening, except they're listening for...
Well, these are on all the time.
I understand. But they're listening for, I don't know, SETI listens for signals from, you know, ET out there someplace. This collection of sensors around the world, fed to Princeton, is listening for something very different. They're listening to, we believe, the collective unconscious.
That's one model.
Or consciousness, collective consciousness, really. That would be one model I could lay down. They're listening for spikes.
Well, they're looking at deviations in the random noise
In randomness, which we believe, conjecture it would be, we believe is produced by many, many people thinking of the same thing, in essence, at the same time.
A more coherent something.
The awfulness that happened on September 11th registered. Other things in history have registered in that manner. So I'm about to tell him what's happened, Richard. Richard sent me a graph just like a minute or two before airtime tonight from Princeton with reference to what we did last night. Right, Richard?
Yep.
Okay, I'll tell the rest of the story. You're going to be on the air again to do a whole show soon, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, my friend. Good night. We're going to basically do open lines, but I'll tell you, I had to, just in case there are new listeners right now, I had to get Richard on to explain the basis of it. Well, folks, we did it. We drove this sucker right up off the graph. I have...
here it is in front of me. And Keith, my webmaster, is in Las Vegas right now. And I will have him get up the official graph itself as soon as he gets to a computer. But he's, you know, at a show or having fun or doing something. So all I could think to do to show you was to bring up my webcam, which I've done. My webcam has taken a picture of the email graph that we received from Princeton. And here's the thing that's going to make you sit down and go, whatever it is you go, I went, oh my God. We conducted sort of a two-part experiment after 10 o'clock, between 10 and 11. And it was at the bottom of the hour, and then again at the top of the hour. And I've got to tell you all, here it is in black and white. On the bottom, you will see the hours involved. 2100 is 9 o'clock. 2300 is 11 o'clock. For those of you that don't know military time, that's along the bottom. Now, how do you get to this? You go to my website at artbell.com. Artbell.com. Click on Program, and then click on Art Bell Studio Cam. Because that's the only way I could get this graph on the website quickly, was to take a webcam picture of it. We'll have the detailed graph up there a little later for you, but I took a picture of it with my webcam, so go up there and look at it. And if this doesn't blow your mind, nothing ever will. Beginning at a little bit, right at 10 o'clock, actually, right, it's at 10 o'clock. And then goes, obviously, through 11 o'clock and a little after. In other words, when we did this, the 39 sensors around the world fed sudden information to Princeton that produced a graph that just went up off scale. Not really off scale, but by God, right to the top of the scale anyway. Oh my. Now, the scientists at Princeton are now going to want to experiment very much with us because of what we just did. Take a look yourself. I'm telling you, this is a sit-down, look at it, and go, oh, my God. The chart seems to cover from September 10th all the way through, make that September 18th, all the way through September 19th. And so you can look at the all that time. And exactly, folks, when we did the experiment last night, she took off. It is an absolute vertical spike. Actually, two spikes. Two gigantic spikes, as you might imagine. The times when we did this. Now, the people at Princeton are scientists, and, you know, it's going to be their attitude, of course, that, well, they'll probably go, I go, oh, my God, and you will, too. But the scientists, I'm sure, go, what has happened here? We need to do this again. So we're going to be getting together with the people at Princeton, and we are going to accommodate them in one way or the other. But I'm telling you right now, when you see this, your blood is going to turn cold or warm, depending. I suppose it could go either way. Because really, this is a good thing, I think. I told you about this power. I told you it worked. And now, look at this. We've got it on a graph. We've got proof. Now, this may not be proof to the scientists at Princeton, because they'll go, You know, they'll need it to happen, I guess, on some sort of regularly scheduled or random basis so they have control and they can prove it. But when you see this, I guarantee you're going to go, holy mackerel, I was part of that. I did that. All those minds at work at once caused this spike to just jump out of nothing right at the time we did it. No other spike even remotely close to it in the 2-day watch period that we've got on the graph until we did that, and right up to the top of the chart we went. It works. It really works. Never in my life, I was convinced, anyway, that it worked with all the experiments we had done with regard to the weather and healing and things we've done like that. But to see it right up almost off the chart completely at the time we did it last night, well, all I can say is you've got to see it. So if you want to see it, if you want to see visual proof of what we did last night from Princeton on my webcam right now, take a look. It'll blow your mind. Guarantee it'll blow your mind. That's incredible. Absolutely blinking incredible. So we should think about this and what it means and what it could mean. And the magnitude of the power that we're talking about here is sobering to even consider. Holy smokes. Absolutely astounding stuff. All right, go to artbell.com. You click on Program, and then look over on the right-hand side for Art Bell Studio Cam, and click on that, because that's the only thing I could do, given just a couple of seconds before airtime. But it's eminently readable. And for those of you who participated in this, I'm telling you, you're going to go through the roof. All right, we'll take a brief break. I've got so much more. It's going to be open lines all night tonight. What a great subject. What a great subject for open lines.
You never know what you'll hear on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, there is terrorism out there. So in an effort to try to fight it or combat it, we give up these rights. I'm convinced that there are groups out there, sinister, powerful groups, that would create this terror to continue to control us.
I think you're absolutely correct. But of course, anybody that's followed the process of government throughout history, once a government has been given a certain amount of power, it always seeks more. And to suggest that our government is different because it's America, I guess that just shows how historically ignorant the American people have become. Because in a real sense, these things are our fault. Americans are, in fact, now trading liberty for security. Every day, this is going to happen now in our future, that we're going to allow this. It's just a matter of time.
Now we take you back to the night of October 19th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Well, 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 what are we going to do? To my satisfaction, I'm sure not to Princeton's, but believe me, to my satisfaction, we have just proven that millions of minds, hundreds of thousands, millions, whatever the number of the audience that decided to participate last night in this experiment, we have just proven what they can do. Got the proof. Princeton will want repeatability. But I don't have 1 second of doubt about being able to repeat this. In my mind, you see, we've done it many, many times. My threshold of proof has already been passed. I'm sure Princeton's will take a little more, but we wowed them, all right. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Go to my website and look at what we did. This really, it really does bear some thought. Well, that's item one. Item two is, what an incredible, and maybe it's the exactly, it's just the exact appropriate time to do this. So, yeah, I will do it now. So, earlier today, as you know, I've always really had a thing for Crystal Gayle, the voice of an angel, waiting for the times to get better. So many songs that, you know, that I play here on the air. Well, Crystal is performing in Las Vegas, and so she took the time and trouble, bless her heart, to come out and have lunch with Ramona and myself today. Right? It was incredible. What a wonderful time we had. You know who Crystal is? Don't make my brown eyes blue. Ready for the times to get better. I've played and played those songs here on the show. Crystal made a record about this program. She made a record about this program. If you listen carefully to the words in the song, and what a song it is, to the song you're about to hear, you'll understand this song is about Coast. And I guess me. And she presented this to me when she came out this afternoon. And it's really excellent. So turn up your radios, will you please? This song, let me tell you, is not available anywhere yet. Crystal just came to sort of present it to me. The pictures of Crystal are also on my website at artbell.com, the ones we took today during her visit. But this is such an honor. I mean, it really is an honor. She sang the song for me. Here it is. Listen carefully. This is good stuff.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert.
Guitar, isn't it? Something or what? That's Crystal Gale, who was here this afternoon. What an honor. I don't know whether you were able to catch all the words. Maybe I'll play it later again. I don't know if you were able to catch all the words or not, but if you're a Coast listener, you know exactly what she was saying. Precisely what she was saying. So, what a hell of a day for me, I'm telling you, to see the results. What we did last night on a mind-blowing graph. I mean, there it is through 2 days. When we did it, boom, up she goes. This will bear a significant amount of conversation about what it is we have done, in my opinion, of what we're doing, how we're doing it, the amazement of it. If you don't want to talk about this, then you're not even a thinking person, and I know you are a thinking people out there. In fact, we have the proof right here on the graph. My. This is so exciting. So exciting. And then, of course, to get, a visit at your home by one of your favorite singers in all the world, Crystal Gayle, that was also a topper. And those photographs are on the website as well, so you've got lots of reason to go to artbell.com right now. I hope we don't take down a server doing this. Because Keith, as I mentioned, is here in Las Vegas. We'll get a good detailed copy of this graph up just as soon as we can. Okay? This would be a good bumper going into the break. One more time for just a second. Here's Crystal Gayle.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening.
Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
Boy, I swear to you, I saw this graph just before airtime, and my heart skipped a beat. I know my heart totally just skipped a beat, and I went, I can't even repeat what I said. When will you see this? This is absolutely amazing. What do we do with this now? I came to the conclusion when we did the first set of experiments that it was possibly dangerous. I'm still not sure. I'm really not sure. Now, we certainly went after a good purpose, somebody's hearing. But I've been scared of this thing because I knew it worked. Never did I imagine proof like this. Never, never, never. So this is a little staggering for me right now, and I'm sure for many of you. When you see the graph, you'll be staggered. So we're sort of making news. And then on top of that, I have this visit from Crystal this afternoon, which was so incredible. And the record is so incredible. So incredible. The record exactly, precisely captures the program. Exactly what happens on the program. And, it's interesting because that record is not country. It's not rock. It's maybe a little of everything. It's got some new age. I don't know. It's a complete crossover. It's not any single real category that I can think of. Maybe one of you will have a suggestion about what category it fits in, but to me, it just purely captures the show magically. So a lot has happened today. But this wrath of what we did. There is news in the world that I should be telling you about, so I'm going to do that briefly, and then we will begin our adventure into open lines for the night.
Now we take you back to the night of October 19th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Well, all right. Back again. Now, the scientist at Princeton, Dean Radin, who sent this to Richard, who forwarded the graph to me, says he is mildly interested in this. He says it would become much, much, much more interesting if similar results can be repeated a few times. Yeah, and there you are, the scientist, right? Look, brother, it happened, and there's no doubt in my mind, having done the other experiments, looking at this graph, there is no doubt whatsoever in my mind, and when you all see the graph, you'll be saying the same thing. There can't be any doubt. There is no doubt. I don't know if we want to get involved in a long experiment. I don't know if we need to get involved, after this, in any long experiment at all, or a repetitive number of experiments. Maybe for the sake of science, we should do it. I don't know. I don't know if I need to. This is amazing. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello there. Where are you, please?
Mike in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Hello, Mike.
That was just the greatest collective positive consciousness thing I've ever seen. And I'm very concerned, like you are, of the negative nature connotation that may be involved with it, but I do feel that there's very, very much positive things that could come from it.
Now, the truth is, sir, I'll tell you, I really don't know about doing this. I recognize the power of this.
Really?
But I don't know. It gives me the jeebies.
It does, really. I mean, just the collective consciousness of it itself. I mean, Dean Radin is probably correct. I mean, at some point in time, if you could probably get together and do it again, maybe monthly, maybe nothing, your monthly thing would probably be more advantageous, I would think, to overall prove the application of it.
Well, we certainly, I guess, have that ability now, don't we? In other words, look, there's no question in my mind. I don't know how long you've been a listener to the program, but did you ever participate in any of the experiments we've done years past?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, you have?
Yes. The hurricanes.
Yeah, so knowing all of that, knowing what we did before, and now seeing this, is there any doubt in your mind?
No, there doesn't seem to be any doubt in my mind.
No.
Although it's something of a configuration that's, within the parameters of further study.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the scientist speaking. All right, thank you.
All right.
And take care. I'm sorry, did I miss something? No, I guess not. No. All doubt, frankly, to be honest with you, about doing this was gone before this experiment. Admittedly, I'm incredibly excited about this. I mean, how could you not be? Those of you who have been listening for years, those who participated in the experiment last night, and especially those who participated in years past, there's going to be no question in your mind. Now, the question is, should we go ahead and prove it to the scientists? Should we do encore performances and drive their graph up off the charts again, just for the sake of science? I really don't need it proven to me. My questions are different, like, what do we do with it? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
Oh, what a lucky man. You get to see Crystal Gale and you have the honor of speaking with me. I guess this is where I want to go. I'd like to throw out something, and then I'd like to make a comment afterwards.
Sure.
My theory of consciousness is, maybe Richard can understand this, Mr. Hoagland, is that astronomy, lit by all the suns and stars, schools or educates biology, from the one-celled mind all the way to the human mind, mm-hmm. where life lives on life and nations war upon all other nations, armed with the knowledge we learn from the violent suns and stars in a universal search for answers to these questions. Who are we, where do we come from, and where are we going?
Mm.
interesting concept.
It is. And what do you think should be done with this?
Oh, a lot can be done with this. I mean, it's not only the...
Oh, I know a lot can be done. Almost anything can be done. The question is, what do you think would be appropriate?
In the times we are now?
Yeah.
To turn it against the enemy.
All right, I appreciate the call.
Can I ask one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
At the top of the hour, I know you would never ask this of yourself, but I'd like the audience to join with me in a conscious...
No, please, sir.
For you.
I appreciate it, please. Thank you, I appreciate it, but I don't want to do that. For one thing, even though I appreciate your suggestion, sir, I don't want to do that because it's self-serving, and I have a feeling, pretty strong feeling actually, that whatever this power is, this incredible power, it's not to be used in a self-serving manner. Put another way, even a selfish way, I would rather not risk it. You know, I'm not beyond thinking that something could go wrong here. You know, something could go wrong. And it may be that using it in some self-serving manner would be just the switch that I don't want to click. So I hope you all follow me in that regard. One, I think it would be self-serving and wrong. And two, it may be that self-serving is wrong. And that could cause it to backfire. Look, I don't even begin to understand what we're doing here, how we're doing it. I have theories. I think the whole collective consciousness thing is a theory. We don't know that that's it. We know there's a collective occurrence, but we don't know what the power does, how it does it, what medium it moves through, whether it's actually a collective consciousness or it's many separate consciousnesses that are simply registering as one. There's not much we know about all of this yet. These would be very early days with regard to what we did and now may have proven. Oh, my goodness. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Yes, good morning.
Duncan in Toronto, Canada.
Way up in Toronto.
That's right. I feel very privileged to be a participant last night.
Have you seen the graph?
I'm looking at the big wow right now as we speak.
Hey, you know what? There you are. If this were SETI, we just made a wow signal.
Well, I just remember you saying last night, you start off, you concentrate on random noise, like the snow on the TV, and then try and clarify it.
Yeah, that's correct.
So I'm a little bit northwest of New Jersey. I sort of pointed myself down there, and I sort of beamed there, kind of like a clear cloud over New Jersey. And I actually found it hard to keep the concentration up. You know, you're trying to visualize it, and my visualization, I guess, was like a solid screen. It was a deep, sort of a clear magenta.
Oh, that's perfect. You see, that's absolutely perfect. In other words, what we want to do is have the exact opposite of randomness, and a solid color is the exact opposite of randomness.
Well, that's what I was trying to concentrate on. I thought it was interesting you mentioned that there was like two lines. And I think initially, before you went to the break, you said, okay, now everybody concentrate now.
Yes.
And then we had some commercials. And then you came back and you said, okay, this is your last chance. Let's do it again.
That's right.
If you haven't done it yet, do it again.
That was up at the top of the hour. It's the second one, sir. It's the giant spike at the top of the hour. You bet.
Well, my question is, Richard says that they're measuring random noise. And I know this is a form of collective energy that we're
random grabbing. Numbers. In other words, a processor, a very fast processor, just generates absolute random noise, random numbers, which can be represented by random noise.
Okay, so they're generating numbers. See, this is what I was
They're saying. Just setting the computers loose and saying, generate totally random numbers. And then what you're seeing measured there is when there suddenly becomes, for an inexplicable reason, a lack of randomness. When things begin to get totally non-random, which is, virtually impossible. And you see the scale measured in that graph.
This is where I was confused. I thought that they were measuring some kind of electromagnetic, as you know, noise can be...
No.
It can be...
You see, I don't know whether you heard the show last night. Did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, they registered another big spike on September 11th, both before and after the event. But in the case of, my God, what we did last night, this spike occurred exactly. In fact, as you pointed out, the double spikes are unmistakable with regard to what we did. Unmistakable.
So this collective energy was actually influencing the numerical processing that was going on.
Exactly correct, sir.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it comes from, 39 different places on the planet.
Like a matrix.
Yeah, that's right. Fed to Princeton. So is this some kind of amazing thing or what?
Well, I think you definitely have to do it again to make them amenar a little bit more.
To please the scientists?
I don't know how often you want to do it. I think one more time should give them a good... something to think about anyway.
Well, you know what I wonder? No bad reflection on scientists, but I wonder if I could do it, if we could do it. I can't do it. We do it. If we could do it enough times to make them believe.
How many people, your audience, typically, how many people do you think were contributing last night?
Millions.
Because you go right over North America and you're via satellite as well, aren't you?
We're all over the place, sir. Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, some 513 stations or something now. You know, so obviously with Skip at night, we saturate everywhere. So I'd say, you know, safely, millions. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I'm going to listen out and I'll definitely be around to do it the second time.
All right. Thank you very much. A little echo up to Toronto. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This has such deep, important meaning, and I've got a lot of thinking about it now. Again, I went through this a few years ago thinking really hard at this scale, maybe not quite this scale. Now I really have to think about it. Plus for the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, this is Conrad from Phoenix.
Hi, Conrad.
And I was just kind of skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering why you couldn't do this to find a cure for AIDS or...
Well, number one, it wasn't received information. In other words, we weren't receiving any information at all. We were transmitting information. And what you see represented in the graph is the reception, the obvious reception of that.
Okay.
So you see what I'm saying? In other words, we weren't listening. We weren't hearing things at all. We can't just pluck an answer using the method we just used about cancer. But, you know, maybe somewhere down the line, if somebody runs with this and begins to learn about this power, whatever it is, you know, maybe, who knows? Maybe there is that.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, since there's nothing known about it, or very little for that matter, you don't know the potential and I mean, maybe, you know, the collective consciousness could crack, you know, some nugget of a idea in a scientist's mind to where he could say, whoa, you know.
No question about it. I'm awed by the whole thing, and I'm not sure what it means. I'm just sure we did it.
Yeah, I don't think it would be, you know, a bad idea to, you know, try that, you know, not knowing maybe it won't work, but I don't think it hurts to try.
All right, I appreciate the call. Thank you. That would obviously require some refinement of this method. I'm not even sure it's in the same ballpark. It probably is in the same ballpark, but far enough away right now so that I wouldn't begin to know how to pursue that information. What we did was not pursue information. We actually tried to cause something to happen. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
Hi, this is Anthony from Connecticut.
Hello, Anthony.
Hi. Well, I want to say that I think that... Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speak.
Yeah, here's a dilemma. Radio's on, sorry.
Always turn off your radio.
Well, I'm away from it. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, what I want to say is I think you should do the experiment again. I mean, because while you don't need the proof, and I mean, I believe it's true, you have an opportunity that probably not many other people in the world have the opportunity, and that is to organize something like this again and to prove it to the rest of the world.
Huh. Yeah, I suppose that's absolutely right. I wonder what the consequences, what do you think the consequences of proving it to the rest of the world are? In other words, it's so radical And I believe we could do it. We could do it. But if we prove this to the world, there's going to be a whole lot of change in thinking going on out there.
That's true. I mean, you can't really foresee what the consequences will be.
Oh.
But the idea of keeping this hidden doesn't seem like the right thing either.
Huh.
And actually, as another experiment, given what's gone on in this country, what if you organized a session where your audience really focused on the idea of just peace and prosperity? Would that have any effect on what the terrorists have done?
You would think that concentrating on the subject of peace would be a really good thing, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to imagine a complication for you.
Okay.
Suppose the concept of peace is somehow interjected strongly to the collective consciousness, something this graph proves, I guess, you can do. The question has got to be, sir, what if we're in the middle of war, wanting to have war, because we're going to get these bastards that attacked our nation, and somehow something for peace would cause us not to succeed in our effort. Do you understand what I'm worried about when I say I don't understand this power?
Yes. I mean, there are obviously, no one can really know all the consequences down the road, but it just seems to me something like peace.
I mean, haven't you ever seen Twilight Zone?
Yes.
Well, you remember all the episodes where somebody thought they had it absolutely made and it just somehow always turns out wrong? Right. You've seen them,
yes.
Right? That's what I'm worried about.
I mean, I understand that, but it's just hard for me to understand or accept that if all these people are really thinking thoughts along the line of peace, and also I would throw in prosperity just to make sure it's not like a bad kind of a peace.
There's a million different ways it can end with the Twilight Zone. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but I figure it's got to be better than the way things are going now.
Well, think about our objectives. I mean, thousands of Americans dead, thousands, a main attack. We have got to win this war.
Well, that's true. I mean, if these lunatics are still running around, we're not going to have peace. So I would assume peace would probably, one way or another, neutralize them in some way.
Well, then you have to begin thinking, well, then why not become more specific, and why not say peace after victory, right? Right?
Mm.
Yeah.
But
you see, I see so many possible pitfalls. The Twilight Zone. You know, Rod Serling.
Well, he thought it was going to be this way, but he never anticipated X,
right? That's how it could happen. And that's why I'm afraid of this, because I don't understand all of it. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
Up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, that all these things in our memory are taught, and these things to come. Take a free ride, and I'll bring you a
Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired October 19th, 2001.
I'll tell you, I just almost don't know how to proceed. It's been such a day. It's been an incredible day. I mean, to have Crystal Gale here, and by the way, we're going to speak with Crystal Gale here in a few moments, if I can get through, I think. So, let me see, how am I going to do it? I've got to figure out how I can do this. I know how I can do it. I can slip in one additional commercial, and that'll let me dial. I've got the information to dial for Crystal Gale right now. And this graph, oh my God, the graph. I don't know what we're going to... I have no idea what we're going to do with this. I really got to think it over. My original inclination on this grand experiment was, Arthur, you don't know what you're doing. And something is obviously happening, but you really don't know what you're doing. And if you don't stop, Rod Serling will be there with the big catch. And it's going to catch you. So, but what we have proven here, and to those who have participated before, no further proof needed, I'm sure. To the scientists, there will be, of course, but what do they know? Man, I'll tell you, oh man. Anyway, here we go.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You never know what you'll hear on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, there is terrorism out there. So in an effort to try to fight it or combat it, we give up these rights. I'm convinced that there are groups out there, sinister, powerful groups, that would create this terror to continue to control us.
I think you're absolutely correct. But of course, anybody that's followed the process of government throughout history, once a government has been given a certain amount of power, it always seeks more. And to suggest that our government is different because it's America, I guess that just shows how historically ignorant the American people have become. Because in a real sense, these things are our fault. Americans are, in fact, now trading liberty for security. Every day, this is going to happen now in our future, that we're going to allow this. It's just a matter of time.
Now we take you back to the night of October 19th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Ah, success. I got it done. And so I think right now I'm going to be able to bring on the air from Las Vegas. And she just, I think, got off the stage. Crystal Gale. Crystal, hi.
Hello.
Oh, God, it was great having you out here today.
Oh, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Wonderful lunch.
Yeah, the desert is something, isn't it?
Oh, every time I come out here, I want to move. So. Who knows? We might be neighbors.
I hope you got a chance to go back through Red Rock Canyon, or did you miss the turn?
No, we found the turn, and it was beautiful.
All right. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know this was coming, Crystal. I had no idea that you were going to bring a song, which so obviously is about this program, with you today. That really was a very well-kept secret by somebody.
Well, we wanted it kept secret. And, Mike Loudermilk, who's my guitar player, we got together and started this, and it was just something we wanted to do. Yeah.
Well, You know, I have listened to it about 20 times since you were here today, at least 20 times, and I have never heard anything that so well captures the it captures everything. It captures the place where I live, this strange desert, perfectly. It captures the mood of the show perfectly. How did all that happen?
Well, from listening. And you know, just being part of it. I mean, you bring in everybody. You bring everybody a part of your show. So I think just feeling the emotion of your show, it all came together.
Well, I've been just absolutely blown away by it. When you did a show tonight, you just finished, right?
I finished. I had to. I met some people, and we just came on up and got my shoes off. My feet are feeling better.
Good.
Putting my feet up. But we had a great time. Good people out here.
The guitar in this thing is absolutely awesome.
Oh, he plays great. That's Mike.
Loudermilk, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to tell him. I mean, it takes, you know, with every song, this song, the first time I heard it, it grabbed me. And then second, third, and fourth, I just began to go absolutely berserk. I said, how did they do this? How did they capture this program?
Well, you know, I think that when you believe in a lot of the same things and just your minds are there together, it works.
That's what happened to the song. It really, really works.
We continue your show, you know, when we're out on the road. Mike and I talk about all the different things. You know, a lot of people look at us and think, well, what are they talking about? But we're into that. We're into all the things that are happening in the world.
Well, we just, I don't know whether you had an opportunity to listen last hour. You probably didn't. But we did this grand experiment last night. Princeton University is conducting an experiment. They have been without our knowledge for a long time now, Crystal. And they have these random number generator computers. They just spit out random numbers. Kind of like if you saw a visual of it, would be like your TV screen, you know, where you just see the noise on the screen when there's no signal, the little dots jumping all around. That's random. And we have tried all these experiments with mass mind concentration. And Princeton has been monitoring the results of this from about 39 places around the world. And they actually produce a graph, kind of like a Richter scale. And we did this grand experiment last night. And just before airtime tonight, Crystal, we got this graph of what happened last night at 10 o'clock. We've got 2 days of graph. And last night at 10 o'clock, it went 100 times above normal. When we were doing this experiment, we produced, in other words, an effect in the mass consciousness, the big pool that's out there, whatever, but they sure did register it like a giant earthquake.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying to you is, whoa. Anyway, listen, this record, this tune, might be part of an album you have coming up.
We are working on, I want to do a Native American album. I'm part Cherokee, so very proud of my heritage, and I've been wanting to do an album like that, and I think this particular song would fit on that as well, as just, you know, an album with songs in that type of flavor, too. So definitely I want to put it on something, but I, you know, this is yours.
Oh, thank you. This is really, really, really unusual stuff, and maybe I can get you to comment. I also tried to figure out, as I listened and listened again today, what am I hearing? This isn't country. It's not rock. It's not a ballad. It may perhaps has New Age content sound to it. It's really a departure from anything else that I've heard you do.
It is a little different from what I've recorded in the past. And you know, I just love to sing. I love all different styles.
Is there any category you could put this in?
I think you hit on it with a little New Age, a little Celtic, maybe a little... it's got that feel of...
Yeah, it's got that feel.
Feel.
Anyway, it was a really big deal for Ramona and myself to have you out here today. I it was wonderful.
Well, it was such a delight for us. And the winery, Pahrump Valley Winery, is very great.
Oh, it's a super place, isn't it?
Yeah.
We love it. All right. Well, listen, Crystal, when you have more time, I would like to come and see you in Nashville.
Okay, great.
And when you have more time, you come back and see me. But forever, you have immortalized for me this program in the song.
Oh, well, that's real sweet for you to say that.
Thank you, and I'm going to play it again right now.
Okay.
here it comes. Crystal, thanks and good night.
Oh, and you have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. One more time. Listen to the words, folks, and the feel.
Night in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. Filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening. Ooh, we're listening.
I didn't know Crystal was part Cherokee. Did you? Little news flash for you. This show or what? Get on. So Crystal's part Cherokee. That's called Midnight in the Desert. Crystal Gale. Incredible. Incredible. What an incredible day all the way around today. Just one of those spike went off the chart days to have Crystal out here to hear this song. And then just before airtime to have this chart showing what we did. I'm telling you, I don't know that I'm going to keep doing this. I really don't know. I feel like I'm out in an arena that, could come back to bite me. I could be all wet on that. I just have this feeling that a power this awesome, this significant, and now in my mind, this proven, is something that, I'm out of my depth here. But then again, I think everybody's out of their depth when they talk about what should be done with this, because who could know? Who could know what should be done with this, or what it could do, or the good you could do with it, or the mistake you could make with it, right? So much to think about. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. My name's Cindy. I'm calling from Glenwood Springs, Colorado.
Hi, Cindy.
And first of all, that song is just so divinely inspired, and it is the most beautiful song I've ever heard.
Totally haunting.
It is just so, the timing is absolutely perfect.
You're right.
And so this is, you know, something that I wanted to bring up. About 4 days after our attack, I was like most everybody, kind of having this awful struggle with this eye for an eye mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough. But after about 4 days, I went into this deep meditation, and you know where that goes. And it went farther than I thought I could ever bring myself to actually bring myself to having this, you know, enough compassion and love to actually drop love bombs on the Taliban and the terrorism.
Love bombs?
Absolutely.
You know what my first inclination was?
What's that?
I would have dropped the atomic love bomb.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, it does something. What it does to us psychologically, you know, even if it's only for 5 minutes and then go back to that, you know, how we were, but only for just a few minutes of holding that. And to me, that's kind of what Jesus must have meant when he said, pray for our enemies, because it got so silly that after a while I was thinking, you know, how can love and hate coexist in the same existence?
Well, they can. I don't know either. I don't know the answers to these questions. But I meant the real atomic bomb. That was my first inclination.
Yeah.
Find people that did this and obliterate them with prejudice. Yeah. And I still haven't come far from that. I certainly don't want to harm any civilians.
Oh, but, absolutely.
You know, the people who did this, good night, goodbye. And as a matter of fact, I've neglected because I was so blown away by everything that happened, but we had troops on the ground earlier in, that's really the big news. We had troops on the ground earlier in Afghanistan, two parts of the country, and the military isn't talking about what happened. So we don't know yet what sort of success or failure or whatever they had, but they were there fighting.
Yeah.
Our troops.
Okay, well, is it okay to plug in a couple websites? I don't know if you can do that. Can you
I don't allow it on the air. The reason why, you can send them to me in email, and we can get links up that way, but we don't let people do it because of tragedy in the past, my dear. They gave out some, you know, web links, and it was women without clothes.
I'm sorry. Well so for some network, they're very, very helpful. Absolutely.
I hope you understand.
I do.
Send them to me an email. My email address is artbell@mindspring.com. artbell@mindspring.com. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Raquel from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Hi, Raquel.
And I wanted to say what a beautiful tribute that song was. I keep ring-necked doves, and they were sleeping peacefully until that song came on, and it got them going, and they only shut up about 5 minutes ago.
You're kidding. You're kidding.
They were going on and on, just cooing and cooing. It was marvelous.
You're not kidding.
I'm not joking at all. Not joking at all. I mean, the effect that it had on them was really marvelous. It was like a moment of magic here. And, I thank Crystal for that.
You know what? This has been a day of magic. Absolute magic. Can you hold on?
Yes.
All right, through the bottom of the hour. We've got a break. I have to take it.
Okay.
Here's Crystal.
It's been a too long time with no peace of mind. And I'm ready for the time to get better.
Just a little more, Crystal. Good morning from the High Desert. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM, Friday night, Saturday morning version.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
I've had enough of this continual rain. Changes are coming, no doubt. It's been a too long time to know peace of mind, and I'm ready for the time to get better. You seem to want from me what I cannot give. I feel so lonesome at night.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
This is one of the most significant days in my life. You know, there are marker days in your life. Well, this is a marker day. Crystal Gayle came to lunch. She sang what I'm going to call the song. Midnight in the Desert, which is, I don't know, in every way captures this show dead on the money. And then just prior to airtime, the great experiment that we ran last night in conjunction with Princeton University came blasting in my email. And I'm telling you, we nailed it to the wall. If you want to see for yourself, there are two things, by the way, to see on the website right now. One is a few snapshots I took of Crystal Gayle's visit this afternoon. That's under What's New. It says Crystal Gayle visits Art, and you'll see about three photographs there with Ramona, with myself. And then if you go down to program, just below it, and go to Art Bell's studio cam, because Keith is at a show himself in Las Vegas, this graph came bursting through my email from Princeton through Richard Hoagland. And last night when we did the experiment, it just went off the chart, folks. Off the chart over a two-day period. It's going to blow your mind. That's all I can tell you. And in a moment, I'm sure we'll talk more about all of this, but definitely a marker day in my life.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
All right, we're back to it. Caller, you're back on the air. Thanks for hanging in there.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
What I really called to discuss with you is that really we must document this success of an experiment for no other reason, for posterity. You know, the scientists, usually the established minds in academia, do tend to be fairly rigid. And they may not accept this no matter what you do, but sooner or later, they will move over and new folks will come in and replace them.
Do we?
And then they might be open to what has happened.
Yeah, I know, but do we really want that to happen? I mean, if I were to stop it right now, it might be known to the people who have listened to this program, but it might not go further. Now, on the other hand, if we nail it, which I know we can do, I don't even have a doubt, then what are the implications of that? This is a power that I don't even begin to understand. Do you?
Maybe begin. Some weeks ago, there was a guest on your show, Greg Braden.
Yes.
Wrote The Isaiah Effect.
Yes, of course.
Now, he refers to it as the field effect of mass consciousness. And he suggests that it takes about 800 people to effect a transforming change in the mass consciousness of the human race. Only 800 people.
Now, that is such a significant power. I mean,
It's a very significant power. And with safeguards in effect, specifically by, well, being very specific as to the effect that you want.
All right, now here's one for you. Here's something to think about. If we had had 800 people conducting an experiment like this last night, I'm sure it's hard for scientists to marshal those kinds of numbers, you know, reliably. But assuming we could get, you know, exactly 800 and then compare the size of the spike to the spike we produced last night on this graph, what do you think we would see? Would it be by number, you know, we had millions last night.
Yes.
So would it be by percentage a smaller number or every bit as big? What do you think?
I have no earthly clue.
The only thing
I can suggest, though, is that this is our birthright, and it doesn't take millions to make a difference. It's nice to have millions when you can marshal them, though.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you are special, Art, and shouldn't waste your opportunity.
Mm.
This is your chance. This is our chance. To actually sway things for the better.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You know, to effect a mass healing on our consciousness.
Maybe. Here. Maybe. All right, thanks. Listen, thank you for the call. I'm chewing hard on this, believe me. All right?
All right. You have a good evening.
Right, you too. You have a good evening, yeah. You know, usually I go by gut feeling. I fly by the seat of my pants. I have all my life. Now, what we have stumbled into here, it's so significant, so powerful, so incredible that, you know, I tell you, the first vibes deep in my belly when we got further into the experiments we did a few years ago was, be careful, Art, be careful. You don't know what the hell you're doing, Art. Collectively, we really don't know what we're doing and what the possible implications are. And now, even more than ever, I have that gnawing feeling that, oh, yes, we've proven this, but something bad could happen, too. I just have this feeling that something bad could happen. You could make a mistake. I'm like a neophyte stumbling in and sitting down in front of a modern Pentium 4 computer and starting to program. The odds of doing something wrong are pretty high. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Calling from Ontario, Canada, actually. It's my first time calling.
Yes, sir.
I heard about the charts.
Uh-huh.
Actually, just recently, I kind of figured out what was going on, and I just wanted to talk a bit about some of the things that have happened in my life.
Let her rip.
Okay, I can't really say that I'm psychic or clairvoyant, but the idea has been tossed around. Throughout my life, weird things have always happened to me. I would get thoughts in my head, and all of a sudden stuff would happen. Like, there was this girl when I was going to college in Peterborough. Every time I thought about her, I would end up running into her moments later, you know, 15, 20 minutes.
Well, you can put that down to synchronicity.
Yeah, there's lots more weird stuff, though. Another example, one day my boss was on the roof because we do roofing. And I had the weird thought that he might slip and fall. I got down the ladder, it was a weird body buzz. The same kind of feeling you probably got when you got the results back.
Don't tell me.
Sure enough, he ended up slipping, but he caught himself. I ended up warning him, though.
So he didn't fall off?
No, he slipped on a shingle, but he caught his balance. But the thought crossed my mind moments before it happened.
Well, all right. Can you know... We're going to be in a courtroom, and you're a witness for a second, all right?
Okay.
And I'm going to cross-examine you a little bit. So you had this thought prior to your partner on the roof slipping, but not falling all the way as you had anticipated he might with the feeling you had. Is that correct?
It wasn't the feeling that he was going to necessarily fall off the roof. It was just the feeling that he was going to slip.
That he was going to slip. And then How much time expired before he slipped?
About 1 or 2 minutes.
All right. Is there any way in your mind that you can know for sure, I want an honest answer here, that what you felt about his slipping didn't in fact cause him to slip? Is there any way you can know for sure that you didn't cause that? Yes or no?
No, I can't know for sure.
All right, then. All right. Well, then I'm stopping you right there. You have answered my question. Thank you. Now, do you understand why the caution, folks? Hmm? Do you understand why? We don't understand this. We don't even begin to truly understand this. We might think that we do, but we don't. And that causes me to feel great caution before moving forward. Great caution. Until we know what we're doing. Now, there may be a case for continuing to do these experiments now with the cooperation of Princeton. I understand how the scientists are going to look at this. I'll say it again. I don't need any further proof. I don't. I did all those years of experiments. And then for the reasons described, quit. And now I've done one more, and this time we've got a graph. Oh, my God, do we have a graph. This may be enough for me, because I don't know what we're dealing with. Do you? Can you honestly say, if you were sitting in the witness chair like that man, can you honestly say you understand the ramifications, all the possible ramifications of this? And the answer is, it's got to be a firm no, if you're being honest. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I've had some experiences and things that you've been talking about. And one thing I wanted to mention, if the Maharishi converged on Rhode Island some years ago, I don't know if you ever heard of this, but a group of them, they decided to meditate on sweetness and light. It was like in the summer, and the following summer, the statisticians at Brown University, I guess, it really blew their minds because there were so many less murders, so the climate was better, a whole list of things that was all positive.
Hmm.
And I guess all I did was meditate on sweetness and light, and like, you know, that type of thing.
Sure.
About 30, I don't know, a long time ago, I got reading into some Tibetan type of mysticism, and I decided to try it. And I said, I want it to work, so I want to concentrate on somebody and get them to do what I want them to do.
Yes, and?
So what I did was I concentrated on this guy who had nothing to do with me.
And?
I mean, he would ignore me and that type of thing.
Okay,
well,
so what did you want to happen?
Well, what I did was I was in a club, and I'm being a musician. I was up on a bandstand. And he hit the front door, and the club was pretty crowded. And he had a beautiful gal with him, leaves her at the front door, walks across through all these people, comes up and raises his hand up to shake my hand. Well, I was about as shocked as he was.
Is that what you were concentrating on?
Oh, yes.
Concentrating on occurring?
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
And when it happened, there was no more surprise at him than it was. He looked at me like he couldn't believe what was going on.
What he just did, you mean? And
yeah.
So you tore him away from a beautiful... And you tell
me...
No,
not at that moment. Let me explain now. I concentrated on 2 or 3 nights. And then I thought, this is not working, you know, and I forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then about a week later, he comes in the club, and he walks over and does this.
And yeah, all right, I've got it. And you tore him away from a beautiful girl. Now that is power. That's real power. That is power that cannot be toyed with. this is going to give me the heebie-jeebies all weekend long now. Totally the heebie-jeebies. Too much. Really too much. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Glenn in San Dimas, California.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's an amazing night, all right.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to when I went to bed the night before after the amazing experiments. I was looking forward to getting up in the morning and listening to what Rush had to say. He wasn't on the air. And I wondered.
Oh, okay. You know, he put a note on his website that he, perhaps like myself, is going to be absent every now and then, and he'll be going to doctors and very special clinics and so forth. So a good bet would be, if he wasn't on the air, that he was with a physician somewhere.
Yeah. Do you have any awareness that Rush has heard about what happened last night that through any source?
I would almost say it's a totally safe bet that a bunch of people probably wrote to him and told him we did it. But
yeah.
I did not tell him ahead of time that I was going to do it. Nor even, send an email, or I didn't do a thing telling him about it. So we'll see what he says. But
yeah.
Have you seen the graph, brother?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
It's scary.
Yeah, it is. It really is scary. That's the right word.
I think that Richard mentioned this the other night, too, when he was on. It's power that is and now seems to be available to everyone, and not just the elite. And the good thing is that it can be used for good. And for evil, I believe it's a gift, but it's something that
that's my view of it. You know, Richard and I differed a little bit on that. I said, Richard, look, I think it is just a power, and that it could be used any way at all, as you point out, for good or evil. And I may turn out wrong about that, but I think it is like everything else in the world, a power, and every other power that we know of, as far as I know in the world, can be used either way, right? And I don't think this would be an exception.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any significance to the date. I mean, Richard is up. He's up on dates as well. Any significance that, for instance, you had to delay because you were originally going to plan this experiment for the week before? But
isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So I wonder if there's a I believe there is. I'm not sure what it is yet, but the fact that it happened that particular night. And
my major quandary right now is the people at Princeton are asking obviously for more.
Yeah.
Do I do that?
I think you
not?
Have to, or at least one more time. I think it's obvious to all of us that it's a success, that it's real.
I wonder how many times I would have to do it to prove it to the scientists, you know? They're just not going to want to believe this.
Make them believe. That's what we have to do. Make them believe.
All right, sir. Thank you.
It's good to talk to you.
Yep, take care. They're not going to want to believe this. Not at all. I understand that. I mean, this is their first time through with us, right? So they're not going to want to believe this. There's going to be a prejudice against it. But you know what? I look at this, and I see we did an experiment. One, the big one, was a two-part experiment. And I'll be damned if when you look at this graph, it is not. The two parts are so obvious. So obvious. The timing is precise. The chance of just a random occurrence is one in a trillion as far as I'm concerned. I don't know, this proves it. But it sure does introduce lots and lots of questions. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Mike from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Proceed. You're on the air.
Yes. How about the media and the anthrax thing? I think they're doing a good job on it.
You don't think they're overdoing it a little bit?
Yes, they are. They're trying to scare the American public, aren't they?
Well, you know, the terrorists did a good thing for themselves. They sent it to the major media in this country, and how else would you expect them to, to respond, right?
Right.
The net effect is that the terrorists, in a way, get their way because of a small event, numerically, has happened, but look at what it has caused. Holy mackerel.
A lot of damage. Tom Brokaw couldn't say the words he wanted to say on the air because
he was too angry.
Too polite.
Yeah. I know. I'm with you. And I don't know what to think about that either or what to say. The media was CNN the other day, and other media have been asking themselves. Dan Rather was on with Larry King, and they were asking themselves if the media response has not been disproportionate, contributing to the terror that is the obvious aim of the terrorists, right? Seems like it's succeeded. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Yes?
This is the Art Bell Show?
Yes, it is. In fact, it's actually Art Bell.
Oh, hi, Art.
And you're actually on the air.
This is the first time I've ever called. I just had a question.
do you think that there is some kind of possibility that because of when this, right before this stuff happened on the 911, that there were a lot of people that were concentrating on that because there were a lot more that had something to do with this than what is estimated?
All right, now that, right. Very good thinking, sir. Let's think about what he just suggested. With the 911 event, the difference in the graph is that several hours before the 911 event, the graph began to go nuts, right? Then when the incident occurred, it went berserk. It went through the roof, as they say. And then for several hours afterward, it continued to fluctuate wildly. In the case of what we did last night, the timing is precise. If you look at the graph and you compare it to the one on Richard's site, what we did last night had no or almost no precursor to it at all. And the reason has got to be, obviously, that before airtime last night, I didn't tell you about it. You had no way of really knowing. You might have been anticipating a little from what I had said the night before, but you really were not concentrating until I told you to, all of you. And then we have the first spike in the first part of the experiment and the astounding second spike exactly in the right place, in the right time, with the right separation, and 2 days' worth of graph to look at. The whole thing is just absolutely mind-blowing. I don't know, amazing, an amazing night. All right, listen, we're in open lines all night long, so anything you want to talk about is fair game. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
I'm never frightened or worried. I know I always get by. I love you.
Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
Wow, what a day, what a day, what a day. All right, we're in open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. That's the nature of open lines. But it is an amazing, amazing, amazing day.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think. As a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Now we take you back to the night of October 19th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
going back to open lines once again for a Friday night, Saturday morning is truly incredible one. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, my name's Patty. I'm calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
How you doing, Patty?
Pretty good. I wanted to talk about the experiment.
Yes.
I didn't enter into it because I'm kind of new listening to you, and I wasn't quite sure about it, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm doing them, and I still am not quite sure about them or even close.
But it excites me what happened with the graph. And I wasn't listening years ago when you did this.
Uh-huh.
But I remember lately you said it worked better if you honed in on healing.
Well, healing seems to be an area where it has great effect. That's right.
Now, I know you've mentioned a couple people I've worked on, and I wondered if it didn't work on some people.
No, it always worked.
And did it work?
There were two instances. One regarding Danion Brinkley, who was in the middle. He was facing brain surgery, actually. And he had clots, these horrible clots in his brain, and we cleared them.
Wow.
Wow is right. And then came Richard Hoagland, who had a heart attack, and the doctors gave him very little chance of living. And, you know, he has described what he felt when we did it, and he made this incredible, even miraculous recovery. It was just amazing. And then we did several weather experiments, some of which worked too well. So
yes.
The answer is, through about 8 or 9 of them, it never failed.
Wow.
And now this.
Well, can I ask you about the healings again? The timing of the healings happen quite soon after the experiment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, immediately.
And what I wanted to know is, you want to know what you can do with this and everything. I was wondering, did you get a lot of emails about people that were ill and they wanted an experiment done after that? Or
yes, of course. I've had a great deal of that. And what do you do with it?
I don't know what you do.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about, do you know Catherine Coleman?
Who?
Do you remember Catherine Coleman from years ago?
Oh, yes.
She came out of Pittsburgh. She was a faith healer. And I was just thinking, well, maybe you'll be the next Catherine Coleman. Although
please.
It's quite different.
It's not, okay, I appreciate the call. It's not me that did it at all, believe me. I was just, you could think of me as the conductor. I only helped by playing my own little instrument during the prescribed times. You know, I did my bit, I did my concentration. But you could only think of me as the conductor. And all of you are the orchestra. And the music is clearly printed out here on this graph. I'm telling you, this is just a mind blower. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is John calling from Raymond, Illinois.
Hi, John.
I was thinking there would be a good way to try and appease the scientists by repeating the experiment a couple of times with some different aims.
Well, that's exactly what Princeton is asking for. You know, they say, well, here you are. It says, last line from Dean Radin is, it would become much, much, much more interesting if similar results can be repeated a few times. That, of course, is the scientific approach.
Well, I was thinking because when I was listening last night, so I was able to participate. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have you seen the graph yet?
Unfortunately, no. I'm an over-the-road driver, and
I see.
Pulled over when I managed to get through. So.
Well, trust me when I tell you, you'd gasp if you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
But I was remembering from last night, you didn't really specify any kind of a color. You were just saying. Try and turn random noise into a solid sheet.
That's correct.
And I was thinking maybe you could run it a couple more times, but give a specific color to add on to that to see if maybe you could not only repeat the spike, but change it in a predictable pattern based on that color.
Yeah, I see. All right. I appreciate your call, my friend, and that's exactly, you know, I know that's what the scientists are going to want to do now. They're going to want to dissect this. they're going to want to try and make specific patterns, prolonged patterns, predictable patterns, and I just don't know. I honestly just don't know if that's a wise thing to do, to proceed with this, because if we conclusively prove it to the satisfaction of scientists, we are unleashing a power in the world. In fact, we may have already done that. Its end effect of which none of us have the slightest idea about. Does that make sense to you? Certainly I don't. Maybe some of you think you do, but I cannot imagine that any of us really know what the consequences of releasing this upon the world are. This is the wow. This is like SETI's wow signal. And there's lots of implications to that, right? If we got suddenly got a signal from aliens, what they call the wow signal, what they wait for, it'd be a lot more than wow, wouldn't it? The implications for society of the wow signal would be tremendous. Well, here, the implications of this wow signal are really, really tremendous. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
All right.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Sarah in San Diego area.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi, and what you're talking about is very well defined in a book written by Ernest Holmes, and the book is called The Science of Mind.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of people have imagined this possibility for as long as I've been alive. People have been imagining this possibility, but I'm not so sure anybody's proven it before.
If you read the book, it will explain it all to you, because that is what life is. Because you can picture that the whole universe is an ocean of knowledge. It's already there. And we individually tap into it, into this one universe of knowledge, mind power.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's life is an expression of their beliefs, whether they realize it or not. And they therefore create everything that happens to them in their lives based upon their beliefs, conscious or subconscious. And the trick is to find out what that governing creative law in your subconscious is. Get in there and clean it up if it's bringing the wrong things to you. And the prayer of healing is one of the prime basic teachings in this book. But it is our minds that do run the universe. That's where we are. Einstein teaches that mind and matter are one and the same and interchangeable. Now, that's a big step, but that's where it is.
Well, thank you. I have dealt with some big things in my time, my years on the air, my more than decade, well, in excess now of a decade on the air. I've dealt with some pretty amazing things, but nothing at this scale. Not even close. Not even close. A lot of people are going to write about it. They're going to write about this. There'll be a lot more written if I repeat it. But I'm telling you, I really am leaning against that idea. Compelling as it is, I'm for some reason, I'm leaning against it. You know, this happened to the men who imagined and created the atomic bomb. They had the wow signal, right? And then they proceeded. But as they proceeded, they began to have some reservations about what they were doing. For good reason, right? So I have some of those reservations. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. My name's Jonathan.
Jonathan, you're on a cell phone too, aren't you?
Right.
Cell phones. Where are you?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Lubbock, Texas.
Okay. Okay. Proceed.
Okay. We're on the air, right?
Yes.
I was just wondering, I guess lately, in what you're talking about tonight, you know, you're familiar with Zen Buddhism, right?
Yes.
Okay. I was raised, you know, basically Baptist. And lately, though, I guess it was a couple of years ago, I finished reading the New Testament, and I was just amazed by kind of what the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, and I've always been fascinated with Star Wars and stuff. And,
Hold it, sir. Let me ask you. I can see what road you're going down here. I've got something I want you to ponder. Okay.
Okay.
We've got this gigantic spike just when we did it last night. There were some people out there who were praying to God during this exercise we had last night. There were other people who were simply doing a mass mind concentration. We have no way of knowing, as we look at this spike, this not coincidental spike, what caused the spike. Did the people who prayed cause the spike, or did the people who concentrate cause the spike, or did both groups cause the spike?
Right.
What do you think?
Well, the mere fact that everyone was thinking about it, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it.
It has everything to do with it.
There's many tools. I mean, the way I look at it, you know, if you think about it this way, to get this result, maybe it's the end result that's what you're looking for. Maybe that's what the mind that you tap into, it's this.
Yeah, but what produced the end result, sir? Was it a conduit through God as instituted by the prayer? Or was it just something that is, you know, the ability of the human mind to project in this manner? I have no idea.
Well, I mean, you're familiar with Edgar Cayce, right?
Of course.
Okay, well, that's basically what he was saying. I mean, he was just like, I've tapped into something that we can all tap into. It's just, it just takes a certain amount of clarity of thought. It's like a certain matrix of information that we can all tap into.
Uh-huh.
But it takes clarity of thought. It's like Jesus says in the New Testament. Are you familiar with the fig tree blot? And when he tells it, you know, to bear no more fruit, and he tells his disciples that, look, if you only have true faith, if you really believe this 100%, you can make a mountain go into the ocean. As with the Zen Buddhist, the old proverb about the two monks watching the flagpole, and the one monk says, wow, look at the wind move that flag. And the other monk says, no, look at your mind move that flag. You're making it move because you think it's moving.
All right. Well, you just illustrated in a more elegant manner exactly what I was asking. Maybe it's all religions. Maybe it's all who have faith and pray. Those people who can, on occasion, move mountains. Now, how would you determine that? Well, I suppose you could have a control group who were praying through God versus a secondary group who were simply doing an intense mind concentration, as we asked you to do. Because really, last night when we did the experiment, to me it didn't matter whether you were praying as through God or you were just concentrating. I just asked you to do what you were comfortable with. So to prove whether there was a difference, we would have to do two more experiments. Do you see what I'm saying when I say this is going to quickly get so complicated, so very complicated? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn your radio off.
Yeah, I'm turning it down. Sorry.
All right. That's all right. Where are you?
I'm in Dalton, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
My thought was this. I don't necessarily want this to go on about being proved or disproved. I think that's irrelevant. If this is a tool, and it's time to come about, I think someone with the sensitivity as yourself, it would be a good idea for you to be involved in understanding. I don't really care about whether it's proof or not. If it's something that's out there, then we need to understand it, because just like you've come from the good side, I'm almost willing to bet at the same time somebody from the bad side is doing the same thing simultaneously.
That's what I think too. I think exactly that. I am convinced that this power is just a power, a great, unbelievably gigantic power, and it could be used, and you're probably right, there are others using it negatively right now. And if we do prove it, we probably encourage more people to use it both ways.
But what I'm saying is, even without the proof, I think my opinion is that it should go forward simply because we need to understand it, because even if we don't prove it, my belief is that there are people using it contrary to good intentions. And because of that, we have to understand what could be happening to us. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. It's exactly what I feel. These are the cautions that I feel about this. But I'm still staggered by it.
Yeah.
The other thing
is, last night I was listening. I was involved. Thank you for the opportunity. This is my first time in being involved. I've never heard of you before, like a month ago.
I see.
I thought I heard on the news report an earthquake in Indonesia.
I think I heard that too.
Is there anything in the graph that alludes to that?
Bless your heart, sir. I appreciate your calling. I don't know. But you're pointing out exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I wouldn't begin to say we caused an earthquake in Indonesia, but I wouldn't begin to absolutely say we didn't either. Now, I hope those of you who think we should just immediately push forward are considering some of the things you're hearing right now, and you understand a little bit perhaps the cautions that I felt years ago when I finished with these experiments. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Yes, I demand to speak to Art Bell immediately.
Oh, my God.
I have been put on hold one too many times.
You have not been put on hold.
Yes,
I just came to you. I came.
I called this program, I was on hold for half an hour.
I came to you directly, and you weren't on hold for one second.
This is not Art Bell. I demand to speak to Art Bell.
This is Art Bell, and you know it is.
It's not Art Bell.
Nobody else talks to you this way, do they?
Well, the last time I was on hold, the foul-mouthed, flea-bitten mongrel that speak to me was putting me on hold and treating me like I was a second-rate nobody.
They were foul-mouthed?
Foul-mouthed!
Well...
I know, this is Mike Siegel, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it is Art Bell.
Yes, it is not Art Bell.
It's Art Bell. I know every inch of your history. I know your voice like the back of my hand. I know who you are and what you're about. I'm on to you, brother.
Who is this?
The only person who could talk to you this way. It's me.
Is this Mr. Bell?
You got it.
Well, it's about time.
So what do you think? Was this God that did this?
Did what?
This grand experiment we're talking about tonight.
What grand experiment are you talking about?
You haven't even been listening. What an insult. You haven't even been listening to the radio. You don't even know what we're talking about, do you? Typical.
I'm not going to listen to your program anymore. You insult me.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I could never, sir, insult you in any greater way than you do every time you open your mouth.
Well, what? How dare you?
I dare easily.
Well, you dare. That's correct. And I'll tell you who was behind your great experiment.
I know. Here it comes.
Satan.
Satan. He hung up. Chicken. Couldn't even stick around. Some of you have been longtime listeners to the program, have heard that voice before. Satan. And then he hangs up like the little coward that he is. Yeah. This one's for you, sir. This song's for you.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
Distant nights in the starry sky. They say
just my window pane. I'll think of summer days again and dream of you.
Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired October 19th, 2001.
If we have any international listeners out there, you can certainly reach us on that line anywhere in the world. Toll free, we'll pay for the call, and the number is 800-893-0903. Love to hear from you. We're totally in open lines and almost totally consumed with what has happened. Really, really, really serious stuff. We'll be right back.
Now we take you back to the night of October 19th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, one more time. For those tuning in late, the Princeton graph that I got just a couple of minutes before airtime tonight, I couldn't get up as I normally would under What's New because Keith is actually himself in Las Vegas enjoying himself, taking some much-needed time off. And since Keith is not there, now when he gets back, he'll have it in his email from me, and I've instructed him to get it up under What's New. And so I suppose as he comes in, if he checks his email, he's going to do that. If he checks his cell phone, he'll check that as well. In the meantime, in my desperation to get this Princeton graph up for you to see of the grand experiment last night, I went to my own webcam. Fortunately, I have that. And I took a picture of my own email through Richard from Princeton and put it up on my webcam. So that's how you get to see it. If you want to see it and understand all the excitement, that's how you do it. Go to artbell.com, click on Program, and then Art Bell Studio Cam. And you'll see I've taken a picture of the graph, and it's quite visible. It's quite serviceable. It's going to be clearer, of course, when Keith gets it up. But in the meantime, in an emergency, I got it up this way, and you'll see the times across the bottom. You'll see the magnitude across the left-hand side of the scale, and you will see it looking through September 18th through September 19th. It is a mind blower, and it's on my webcam. That's how you get to it. All right. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Marcia in Tampa.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi. I listen to your show at 10 when they play the previous night's shows.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And I was listening tonight at 10, so just for the heck of it, I did the concentration experiments, even though I knew I was 24 hours late.
Right.
I'm wondering if maybe other people listening might have done that, too.
Well, that's something I bet Princeton can look at. Have you had a chance to see the graph yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, listen. It would make you suck your breath in it. You go, like that.
Well, I will check it out, but I think it would be interesting to check to see with Princeton and see if anything happened tonight.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just got a note saying that Keith is at a restaurant somewhere in Las Vegas, but somehow or another, he's saying he's managed to get the graph up. Let me see. Oh, he's got it. He's got it. Princeton results graph. Let me see about the, it's under What's New now. So, do you have access to a computer?
Uh-huh.
All right. Simply go to my website, artbell.com, and, it's under, the first item under What's New, it says Princeton results graph. Go up there and take a look at that if you want something to make you suck in air.
I sure will.
All right. Thank you, hon.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. And we'll watch for it later. It's true. We do a pre-show every night. We have 3 hours of the previous night's program. She raises a very good point. A very good point indeed. Well, good for Keith. Now, there's a real computer guy for you. Keith is off eating dinner somewhere in a restaurant, but somehow he got his computer hooked up and got the graph up. Thank you, Keith. Now you don't have to go to my webcam picture. You can just see it as the first item under What's New. Good, clear copy. Boy, this is going to be the shot heard around the world, I'll tell you. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Claudia from South Lake Tahoe.
Hello, Claudia.
Hi. You know, An old Indian man taught me a long time ago, it was an Indian way, and he had said a long time ago that the Indians had always knew that there was, you were born with a spirit.
Yes.
And you named your spirit also when you were born. And spirit is called the father who lives in the unconscious, mother lives in the subconscious, and she stays in the body. We're the child that just only lives in the consciousness. But spirit, like when you did the experiment,
yes,
spirit can, everybody has their own spirit. This is just a theory, okay? But everybody has their own spirit, and it, when you direct it, everyone's spirit actually goes there to do it.
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you, you're right about theories. Everybody has a theory, and that's the Native American. But you know what? The Christian way of thinking about it, the Buddhist way of thinking about it, and even the Muslim way of thinking about it, all of them, I think, are working on the same basic principle.
Hey, how about, is the remote viewing kind of the same way, too? Is that who's going to look for, like, it?
Okay, remote viewing, to answer your question, remote viewing, I believe, remember, I'm just shooting in the dark here from the hip, and I'm going on what remote viewers have told me. But here's what I think. I think remote viewing taps into the same arena. It's a different use of that arena. But I think it's loosely connected in some way to that arena. Remote viewers may be able to look through that arena or utilize the information connected in this non-locality, they call it, or mass consciousness, whatever you want to call it. These are just words for something that we truly, truly, truly do not understand. Even remote viewers are hard pressed. When you press them up against the wall and you ask them how it happens, they're not altogether sure either. They have words they use to, you know, non-locality, whatever. So we don't really know what this is all about. We just know it is. Yeah, a very, very good copy of the graph. Thank you, Keith. Done remotely is up on the website right now under What's New. First item under What's New. You might want to print it out on your own printer and put it up on the wall. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. This is Mark calling from Austin.
Hi, Mark.
I had a couple comments to make about the experiment last night, which I did take part of.
Okay.
Number one, I remember last night you were talking about how this sort of activity was being seen through a series of windows.
Well, Richard, my guest last night, Richard Hoagland, was suggesting that activity of this kind might be more effective when it's done in a specific numeric window. Yes.
Okay, and I was wondering, I did get a chance to see the graph, and I was wondering that if we had hit one of these windows, you know, as impressive as this looks now, what it would look like.
If we hit it in a window?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether we were in or out of a window. I have no idea. We just did it. But, I mean, is this impressive or what?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Also, I also had a comment about what the lady was just saying about the spirit and everything.
Yes.
I have a tendency to take a more scientific approach to the whole matter.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I do know is that the human brain operates on the 7 hertz frequency, and energy, like anything else, is neutral. It's neither good nor bad.
But, you know, I tell you what the scientists would say. They would say, yes, you're correct, and they are electrical impulses. But as far as the scientists are concerned, these electrical impulses, sir, are in your brain and don't radiate at all. And there is no evidence, as far as science is concerned, that you actually transmit beyond the neurons in your own brain. That's hard science.
That's true, but science also says we only use 10% of the brain. What's the other 90% capable of?
They don't know.
Exactly.
They don't know. So, all I know is this is a significant occurrence, and whether we ought to try to prove anything else, I'm not so sure yet.
To be perfectly honest, I wouldn't for the base fact, even though it would be wonderful scientific knowledge.
Maybe.
As you mentioned with the atom bomb,
yeah.
it's too easy to warp into the wrong minds.
Right. Thank you. See, there you are, folks. You wanted to get a range of reactions to this. You're getting them, and you. I hope you understand my caution now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Oh, this is Bob, Sacramento.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, about 30 years ago, I had an out-of-body experience.
Mm-hmm.
And during that experience, I was counseled by, I don't know whether they were angels or beings of light, but they taught me of the power. And they taught me that sometime in my future, there'd be a time that I needed to come together with my brothers and sisters and use that power to sit there and bring some future event.
Use the Force, Luke.
Together. And it was, I played with it over the years, okay, controlling, doing little trips with the weather and controlling people.
I don't think it's anything to play with.
No, you can hurt people, definitely. But I learned over the period of time that if you get a band of people together and you want to cause something good, say like Bin Laden over there, if you sat down and you thought positive thoughts for him to change his mind about the way he thinks.
Now see, there's the way a good person thinks. You hear that? To change Mr. Bin Laden's mind and make him think good, cheery thoughts. That's the way it ought to be. Me, I'd like to do a mass concentration on bursting one of his critical blood vessels and killing him dead. So I look up to you, sir. Which is why I hesitate from wielding this in any other way. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir. My name is Rob. I'm from Marion, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
And I wasn't able to participate last night, but I was wondering maybe if we could concentrate on maybe, you know, the weather in Afghanistan. They've been going through a drought.
Well, again, I'm going to say this one more time. I know they're in a drought. We are presently conducting a bombing campaign in Afghanistan. We have troops, or had troops yesterday on the ground in Afghanistan. For us to tamper with the weather at all in Afghanistan could affect the operation we have going on there. Don't you see why I'm hesitant to tamper with these things? No way would I do something like that. No way. There may be others who would try that. Not me. I see all kinds of possible negative implications to doing something like that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, this is Melody from Fremont, Nebraska.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I have quite a few things that I think. I do believe there's power in prayer. And even other religions other than Christianity believe that there is power in, like, meditation and prayer.
Chanting, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And I wonder how HAARP figures into this whole mindset that everybody's gotten into lately.
Well, I am told by Dr. Begich that HAARP, for example, could be used to confuse the population, to confuse mass populations, even to confuse armies in the field who are, say, ready to attack you. You could hit them with HAARP. It is conjectured. And they wouldn't, they'd start standing up and walking around in circles, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you wanted to stop something like this incredible power, you could probably use something like HAARP.
Like HAARP. But couldn't HAARP also be used against us to whip us into a frenzy?
You had better believe it. Yes.
And when you were talking about not using this, like, prayer circle that we did the other night,
mm-hmm.
to when we changed the thing at Princeton, I understand this, but when you say you don't want to use it for evil, what the Wiccans, you know, also have laws that say, do what thy will, but harm none.
Well, but evil, to some degree, might be subjective. What do I mean by that? Let's have an example. I might like to say that I would like to kill Bin Laden. You know, find a little blood vessel in his head, or a big one, and burst it and have him fall over dead. That might be something that I, for example, might not consider evil, but in the greater scheme of things, maybe that is evil.
Yeah. Well, if you wish death on him, that would be a life on your hands, regardless of if he is evil and done all this other thing.
Yeah, you see, there you are. You just also proved my point. So it is subjective. What some people would consider good, in other words, in my mind, what he did in New York is pure evil. And so retribution for that, vengeance for that, whatever word you want to apply to it, would be, in my mind, a good thing, but it's totally subjective, and there'd be a million other people out there who would think that would be evil. And maybe, as a use of the collective, that would be evil. I don't know. That's the whole thing. I don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir. Where are you?
I am in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
I had something that I kind of wanted to get your advice on, and I had a comment about the chart.
Sure.
This is the first time I've said this out loud, but I've always known for a long time that I am empathic. And ever since the September 11th, I've had a whole lot of trouble dealing with the energy that I get from people, and
mm-hmm.
I'm losing a lot of sleep. And I was wondering, since you... And I appreciate, as a matter of fact, by the way, your willingness to delve into the extraordinary, but I was hoping that maybe you might have come across someone who, or maybe some type of reading material or something that might kind of help me to deal with what I'm kind of going through right now.
You know, I'm not one to give you advice in this area. I think that a lot of us, since that time, have been losing sleep and have been kind of empaths as well. Perhaps you are to a greater extent. Trust me, sir, when I tell you, I'm no expert in this area, far from it. So I would not endeavor to give you advice.
Right. Well, being here in the South, as it were, it's kind of, you know, like I said, this is the first time I've even ever said this out loud. It's come in handy in things like going to clubs and things like that and meeting women and all that, but it's always been self-serving, and now it's to a point to where I just want it to stop, or at least, settle down some.
You have power over women?
No.
That's
but
what
I can sit in a club and suddenly I'm aware that someone's looking at me, and I scan around the club, and if I see that someone's looking at me, I make that initial contact, and I can always tell just by looking at someone, by making that eye contact, I can tell whether they're sad inside or they're happy for some reason or they're celebrating, and I know how to initiate the conversation. And that's the only extent to which, I use that, but,
maybe,
question comment regarding the chart was, we've always known that, we can read brain waves, and I forget the name of the device that, they can hook up to your brain to see your brainwave patterns, but
electroencephalograph, I believe.
Thank you. We've always known that was measurable through that device. Now, even doctors recently have come around to saying that, in extreme cases, in any case of poor health, that prayer or meditation really aids in the healing process, and they don't really know why, but they know they're willing to acknowledge now that at least it plays some part in the healing process, and I'm thinking that this random number generator. Maybe could be sort of like a mass electroencephalogram.
Well, let me put it to you this way. You know what biofeedback is, right?
Just vaguely.
Okay, it's kind of like when they hook something up to your fingers and you feel a certain way and the tone will go up or you will cause a change to occur. And you practice that change. You practice causing the tone to go up or the meter to go up or whatever. You practice that.
Right.
And I think that maybe, and I'm only guessing, but that this chart from Princeton could be used in exactly the same way. We could collectively train ourselves, hone our ability to collectively use this and even increase the effect. How's that for something to think about?
I don't know if I totally agree. I kind of think that maybe it's
it just monitors the fact that everybody is
thinking about something at one time.
Exactly.
All right, well, yeah, and you could be exactly right. Again, I don't know. Sure was nice hearing from JC at the bottom of the hour. My wife called him Festus. That's a good name, I think. JC Festus. That's what I'm going to call you from now on, JC.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
Everybody's asking me an email, new listeners, what's Kingdom of Nye? What's Kingdom of Nye? Simple, it's Nye County. That's spelled N-Y-E. A lot of people spell it N-I-G-H. It's N-Y-E. We're in Nye County, Nevada. I'm at an obscure place not far from Death Valley. And that's how we came up with the Kingdom of Nye. Stay right where you are. More open lines directly ahead.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Weird stories on the radio? Must be Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
What do you think about disclosure? I have said all along it's not coming from official sources. It'll come from whistleblowers. I can't figure it out. Can you?
They know they're sitting on something, and they know they can't keep it hidden forever. The so-called disclosure is happening almost daily. It's like the thing is accelerating. I think disclosure is sort of happening all around us to the point where, you know, everybody kind of goes, okay, we know they're here. What's for dinner, honey?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
A Friday night, Saturday morning, open lines, and here we go again. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art Bell. This is a great pleasure to talk to you. This is Ron. I'm calling from just outside of Tampa, listening on News Radio 970 WFLA.
That's the way to do it.
I was a participant last night.
Yes, sir.
I'm a truck driver, so I couldn't put 100% of my concentration into it.
Good.
Consideration to the other drivers.
Thank you. On behalf of everybody who drives those little cars, thank you.
I thought I'd mention that from the moment that specified to concentrate on the parts of the inner ear.
Yes.
The moment I started thinking of that, I got this very peculiar chill that crossed my entire body. I mean, it actually forced me to pull over to the side of the road.
Let me stop you and tell you something that Richard Hoagland told me privately. I was not going to say this because it's so anecdotal. But Richard said he's had a whole bunch. Boy, what happened to our connection?
It could have been a truck going by. I'm sitting on the side of the road in my truck right now.
All right, anyway, Richard, just before the program, told me he had all kinds of email from people who had effects just exactly like the one. There it is again. Like the effect that you're talking about. So you're not alone. I wasn't going to bring it up because it's kind of anecdotal at this point. But you felt it too, huh? Well, now he's gone. Damn cell phones. Anyway, that's all right. What you wanted to say got through, sir, and there's a little bit of a confirmation for you that you were by far not the only one. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm not on cell phone.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I would suggest to you that just as atomic energy, I guess, you know, and I'm not up on the history, I guess it was created for a weapon. But look at the good that it's done. And has it done more good than harm since the invention?
Well, so far.
Okay.
I think you could say that. I mean, if you're on our side, you could say that, right? We ended the war in Japan by killing an awful lot of people with it. And from our nationalistic point of view and our moral point of view, yes, it was a good thing.
Okay. Now, if it's good versus evil, and there are more people for good than evil, and I know that this is an unanswered question, wouldn't the good win out if for lack of a better term on my part, sorry, mind game?
That would be my guess, sir. But what bothers me is that it's only a guess. It's only conjecture. I mean, I tend to certainly agree with you, but there's so much we don't know.
Well, I agree, and I understand your concerns. But if it can help mankind, if this can help mankind...
Yes, and it probably can.
And to not unleash the knowledge in order to help mankind, wouldn't it be a disservice to mankind?
Not to pursue it.
Not to pursue it.
Yeah,
And I know that you're in a quandary.
I understand.
I understand where you're coming from totally. I can see your side. But as with all of science and all of everything that this world has come up with to benefit, to help mankind, isn't this another tool?
Let me play JC here, the devil's advocate.
There you go.
All right. I refer to my caller, not the other JC, of course. Look, there are some, I mean, you could certainly make the argument that atomic power has done a lot of good, generates electricity and so forth. But suppose I were to argue that, hey, see here, we have all of this high-level waste that we don't know what in the hell to do with it, and they're talking about putting it near me in Yucca Mountain,
yeah,
and it has to be safe for hundreds of thousands of years.
Correct.
That, to me, is impossible. It is an intractable, horrible problem. So you can argue both ways with nuclear power.
Certainly. certainly. And I understand what you're saying there. We don't know. We're not going to be here. We don't know what's going to happen.
That's right. And the odds of mankind being able to keep anything like that safe for hundreds of thousands of years, I would say, are off in the realm of slim und none.
Well, if those storage areas, wherever they might be, would and could, and if I were on the other side, on the evil side, get my point? Target.
Graphically, sir.
A target.
Graphically, sir. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. So it is a little like the considerations that must have been rumbling around the brains of those who invented the bomb and made the bomb. Sure. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello. Going once. Going twice. Gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, this is my name's Keith. I'm calling from Arizona.
Hi, Keith.
Hi. About that question you're talking about the nuclear power and everything, Einstein was very concerned about that. He even tried to get Truman not to use the bomb as a weapon.
That's right.
But anyway, concerning about this experiment you were going on with last night.
Yes, sir.
I participated in that. And if all the scriptures of all the major religions, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, they all refer to the exact thing that you're participating in. And it's the use of conscious benefit of the universe for the goodness of the universe. And whatever power or whatever, however you want to define it or name it or anything, when you put your will with the will of the universe to benefit it and the things in it, good is going to come of it.
All right, then let me try this out on you, all right?
Okay.
I don't know if the power that a witch would wield with black magic would be comparable in any way to this, but I have heard that it is possible to place on somebody a curse, for example. And that would be absolutely, from that person's point of view, the cursee, it would be a negative thing, a very, very negative thing, and yet I am told that it does work.
Well, I think that generality there is God hates witchcraft, if I may quote out of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And what they're doing is they believe that what they're doing, even though it's out of the darkness or the black power or the negative or whatever you want to call it, is to benefit their client by putting an end to whatever is disturbing or coming against them. So in the realm of reality is we're all born with a higher consciousness to recognize what is beneficial for our own well-being. And when we participate in that, then good things come about it. I think what you're concerned about and what I'm concerned about also is the mechanics of it. And I think if we just get into putting the positive energy into the universe and let the universe work out the details for it, like Russ's ears, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, what you're saying sounds really good, and I hope you're right.
Oh, this is just a theory, you know. Nothing's written in granite. But like Russ's ears, you didn't say, well, think about some kind of medical procedure that would heal his ears. No, you didn't do that. You just said, let's just put some really good positive energy towards it.
That's correct.
And I think that's the key to it, is just use the positive healing energy and let the nature or the universe work out the details with it.
Well, it's a good theory, and essentially, certainly, that's what we were doing. Yep, that's a good theory. But everything about this right now, I mean, all of it is theories. We have not yet proven anything, not scientifically. Even though this graph will knock your socks off. And for those of you, as I said earlier, who have been around for years and years, you're not going to need any more proof than this. You may not have needed proof before this. But this is something that will cause you to suck your breath in and go, yikes, or something equivalent. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art?
Yes.
I've got a question.
Where are you?
San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
Could it be possible that all this is being done by one, like, fan? Maybe he has a certain power or she has a certain power to help make all this happen?
To one what now?
One certain fan. I mean, a fan of yours.
Yes, I mean, exactly right. I mean, I was asking earlier, could we imagine the spikes, dual spikes, were actually produced by those folks who were praying to God, which I certainly allowed should go on at the same time, or was a spike produced by the people who were simply concentrating, or was a spike produced by one or two unusually powerful, gifted people out there? I think the answer is in the masses, because you go back to the graphs of what happened on September 11th and other mass things that have occurred, and I think that's adding up to prove that it's a mass effect of some kind versus a singular person.
Yeah, well, that would be something, wouldn't it, to have that power?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Right, take care. We don't have the answers to these questions, and I'm sure that any pure scientific inquiry would go after the answers to these very specific questions, would require incredible amounts of repeatability. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Gazamas, our son.
Welcome. Hi, Gazamas.
I'm John in Vermont.
Yes, John.
I spoke to you last Thanksgiving. How do you feel about a prime directive in regards to this healing thing? I mean,
what do you mean by prime directive? You mean that there is some prime directive that would govern its use?
Yes.
There may be a prime directive that does govern its use, and we may simply have been living within that for all I know. This is all conjecture.
Yeah, I know. And I know what the experiment that you did and the one you did a couple of years ago with the weather.
Yes.
Was a very powerful thing. Prior to Catholicism, there was a religion called the Mithras, the Mithrans. I don't know if you ever heard of the Mithra.
No.
But they believed in a god of chaos and a god of order that had equal power.
Ah.
And
yes.
It explained a lot more.
Kind of like a randomness versus non-randomness.
Yeah.
Chaos versus order. That's very close, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And until we... meet these alleged beings that are supposed to come back in the year 2012.
The end of the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm with you all the way. Thank you. Chaos versus order. Randomness versus non-randomness. Sure. Good parallels. But we're all sort of grasping in the dark here to some degree. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Nancy. I'm actually in Atlanta.
Yes, Nancy.
I was just taught something that may have some light on the test that you did and why the graph peaked so high.
Yeah, sure.
This was taught to me by a healer, and he can actually see the network of ether and energy traveling through the ether, and that's how he heals people, by changing the energy flow. And if that many people actually focused on something at the same time, then...
The power would be by magnitude and percentage that much greater?
That's right.
Huh.
That's right. And
that could easily be.
Well, I know it sounds really impossible, but some shamans, there are a few people in the world that can actually see this happening. And, you know, we only use 10% of our brain, and they have trained the higher brain to be able to see that phenomenon. So it can really be used
for good purposes.
Well, somebody pointed that exact thing out earlier, and they really are right. I mean, we know what the scientists would say about this. Oh, come on, do it again, do it again, do it again. And I don't know how many agains there would have to be for us to prove it to them. And they would scoff. But you're right. We only use 10% of our brain. And do those same scientists know what we do with the other 90%? No.
I don't think so.
No, they don't.
But this person actually teaches others how to do this, and I have been going to him for healing for about 3 or 4 years, and it's absolutely amazing, and I've seen him from across the room practice this on other people, and it's amazing what happens.
Well, there are individual healers, and I don't even know how they do what they do. The hand gets warm, they're empaths to some degree, and they do, I am told, they do heal. And I suppose there's some quackery out there as well involved in this, but the fact is they do heal. Now, when you multiply it by millions of minds, you're doing something really, really powerful.
Very powerful, and I think that the reason that it peaked prior to 9-1-1 was that there were so many of Bin Laden's people who were focusing on what was going to happen.
Either that or the subconscious of many, many people understood at some level that something big was just about to happen.
That's right, because there is, that network goes, you know, all through the universe, and so the energy that you and I might send out goes to people in China at some level.
Well, it sure is fascinating stuff anyway, isn't it?
It really is, and you know, for someone to be able to teach that, that adds, I think, some validity to it.
I agree. Ma'am, I've got to go. We're at the bottom of the hour. Listen to the words. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001. Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 2001.
You know, maybe just love.
All I got to do.
to drive the graph right off the top. A lot of people, you know, say it's all about love. Oh, well. It's all conjecture, but it certainly is fascinating, isn't it?
Now we take you back to the night of October 19th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Back into the night we go. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there, where are you?
I'm in Idaho right now.
Idaho. Okay, yeah. And you're a first time caller?
Yes, I am.
That's a good thing. What is your first name?
I'm Becky.
Becky. That's a good name, too. What's up, Becky?
Well, I find this stuff pretty interesting. I have a lot of questions, though.
Like what?
Well, okay, I see the graph on the internet.
Yes.
But what's behind it? I guess I just don't understand
what it all means.
Well, what is it? Let me see. I'm trying to get this all out.
What is it measuring?
Yeah. Well, how are they measuring it? What are they using?
They're using about 39 far-flung computers, and these computers are generating in different parts of the world, all the way around the world, and they're generating random numbers by crazy, just randomness, all right?
Uh-huh.
And they're looking for any change, collective change in that randomness, and those computers are sending all of their information back to the Big Mama computer at Princeton University in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And so we tried last night this grand experiment, and we have Princeton actually monitoring. In fact, they've been monitoring this whole thing for a long time without our knowledge. I just found out a couple of weeks ago that they were even doing this.
Uh-huh.
But we knew that Princeton was monitoring, and so we tried it at the exact time that you see that giant spike happening.
Okay.
Millions of us, all at the same time.
But how do the computers...
The computers register the difference because the randomness stops. In other words, it becomes less random all of a sudden. And so they're measuring that difference, and that measurement is illustrated to you on this graph.
Okay, so the computer is just randomly coming up with different numbers.
Right, and we're affecting what those computers are doing.
Okay.
Do you understand?
How did they even come up with even... do that, I mean, with numbers and...
Well, to really get down to be able to explain it to you technically would take somebody better than myself.
Okay.
I'm just giving you sort of the general concept,
right,
of how they came up with the delta, the difference, the graph.
Okay. It's really interesting. I have so many questions.
It is totally fascinating. And did you listen to the program last night?
I just caught tonight where they played like the last hour.
I see. All right. Well, that's the best I can do for you in a quick and dirty. And frankly, I really can't go all that far beyond quick and dirty because I only understand so much of it myself. I think I'm not alone. Now, there will be many people, experts who I've had in the past on the program over the past decade and better, who will have some pretty strong ideas about what's happened here, I'm sure. You're going to hear a lot of talk about this. Believe me, a whole lot of talk about this. And I'll let them go ahead and dissect what has happened here. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Good morning.
My name is Brandy. I'm in East Tennessee.
Hi, Brandy.
Where the leaves are gorgeous and there are millions of people here looking out.
Oh, they're really beginning to change now, huh?
Oh, yeah, they're gorgeous.
Oh, it is a pretty time of year.
You've had an interesting day.
Yes, I have had an interesting day.
That song, Crystal Gale's song, song is gorgeous.
Oh, isn't it? It absolutely captured me, and that I guess is exactly what it was intended to do, you know, to capture the whole spirit of the program.
You must have just been grinning
ear to ear.
Yeah.
In fact, you can see some photographs. We got some pictures with Crystal, and they're on the website tonight.
Oh, I'll check that out.
Okay.
When you started talking, I was anxiously waiting because I just had this feeling
that you said that it would probably be about 48 hours before Princeton could get back to us.
That's correct.
And I just had this feeling that it wasn't going to take that long.
And they made it in just under 24.
And you started talking, oh my God, that's gone. Is it in the news? And I was grinning.
I didn't have enough time to become calm. I got the information like 2 minutes before airtime. And I was so nervous, I could barely hold the graph up to my webcam to take that initial photograph I took. I was so blown away.
I started cursing like mad because I'm at work and I have no internet access.
Well, so. you will have, right?
Yes, I'm leaving in a few hours to go home, and it's the first thing I do.
Well, then you're lucky because Keith remotely did this for me. He got a real good, clear copy of the graph and put it up under What's New. First item, you can't miss it. It'll be there when you get home.
Good. And I wanted to say, I understand your prudent caution with this.
Mm.
And I appreciate it, and I think that that's the wise thing to do. But.
What?
But.
The other shoe drops.
I.
The sandal comes down on the floor.
No, the not pursuing knowledge because you're afraid of what might be done with it.
Right.
That's
ignorant?
No, it's not. And it's understandable that you're afraid of what people will do with something powerful, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't attempt to learn anyway. You know what I mean? And if you're only doing, if they ask you to do this again and all you're doing is trying to affect their graph, their meters, whatever,
then maybe
you're
not it wouldn't work.
Huh?
Maybe it wouldn't work if we...
Well, maybe it would. At least you wouldn't be directing it toward anything like changing the weather or blowing up Osama bin Laden's head while he's sitting there eating bean and rice. if that's all you're doing is just trying to affect that, then you're not trying to harm anything, and nobody can really convolute that into something harmful. And then... I mean, we could learn.
Well,
you could meet. This could be the first step.
And so the theory goes, but I've seen a lot of Twilight Zones.
Oh, but this isn't television. This is television, and God isn't Rod Serling. And this could be the first step toward our evolution into a Type 1 civilization.
Yeah, it really.
And then we really could build a monument to our bell.
No, I don't want any monuments. I don't want any monuments.
Well, I just wanted to, because you're talking about how you're leaning against it, and I just want you to think, you know, that this doesn't have to be that way, you know? It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be negative.
Yeah, I'm with you. I understand. And believe me, your argument is strong and on my mind.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, and take care. Yeah, it's very much on my mind. And will surely be on my mind and haunt me for a long, long, long time now. Man, this is going to haunt me. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Tony out in Cincinnati.
Yes, sir.
You're a little cautious. I can understand that. I want to throw something out. Most of the things that happen, if not everything in the universe, can be explained by physics, correct? For the most part. Not everything.
Supposedly.
Exactly.
Pretty much of everything out there, is, according to scientists, can be explained in physics, yes.
Okay. Well, if there is an equal and opposite reaction to every action... If it's a good action, isn't there an equal and opposite negative reaction?
Well,
is that a possibility? What you're afraid of?
Sir, I had a physicist on from Princeton a couple nights ago.
Right. I was listening.
And we discussed, you know, I put it to him about whether he thought the mind could exert influence beyond the boundaries of the physical skin, right?
Right.
And he sort of politely said,
no way.
Not only no, but hell no.
Right. But if it does, and this does work, that's a possibility. And I know that that's part of what you're thinking, that, you know, it can also be a negative as well as a positive. And if there's a positive, you know, I believe a caller said something about there was an earthquake last night.
Possibly. Oh, yeah, thanks for that. All
well,
right.
That's what got me on this train of thought, that if maybe we got Rush's hearing back, that maybe there was a negative that happened because of this. And I can understand where you're coming from about possibly being afraid.
Maybe some 5-year-old in Bangladesh went deaf. I mean, you know, you can imagine a million different things. I'm just cautious because I don't know. I honestly, honest to God, I don't know. I don't know what this is, what it means, what it can be used for, whether it can be used negatively as well as positively. I suspect it can. what it would mean if we proved this scientifically to the world, and what the world would do with it, and what the consequences of that would be, I am troubled.
Same here a little bit.
But I'm also riveted and fascinated at the same time.
Right, so I just thought I'd throw that out there and see what you thought about that theory.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, my friend. And
all right. All right,
care.
Bye-bye.
West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Oh, what a day for you.
Yep, what a day.
And JC just talked about if it was the icing on the cake.
I couldn't believe it.
We haven't heard from him for so long.
JC Festus, I'm going to call him.
That's perfect. I'm calling from Oahu, Hawaii.
Oh, how are the islands?
Oh, same as always, but I miss the color, the leaf change, the color, you know, the leaves and all that, the changing of the seasons.
Do you think that there really is anything to the fact that you can have too much paradise?
Yes. I think so.
I too, began to miss the seasons. You know, I lived in tropical climates for a lot of years, and
yeah,
on islands for a lot of years, and I began to miss it.
Well, my cat loves the sound of your voice. He sits here and listens to Art Bell with me every time you're on. When you're not on, then he doesn't want to listen.
Your cat?
Yes, he loves the sound of your voice. I think it's a vibration or something.
Well, I love cats, so maybe that comes through even on the radio.
He senses it.
Yeah, maybe.
And I believe that this is your destiny to help develop this tool.
Yikes.
Art?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yeah, I said yikes.
Oh, I want to get yikes on my license plate.
My destiny. Boy, that would be some destiny, wouldn't it?
I believe it is. And, you know, by ignoring this, this knowledge is out there already. The knowledge is there that this works. And by ignoring it, it's not going to go away. It's going to be developed no matter what. And sticking your head in the sand is not going to make it go away. It's going to be developed.
Well, I'm not exactly sticking my head in the sand, but I am, you know, trying to clear my nostrils and my ears of sand and think real hard about
well,
it.
Well, do you remember Ed Dames? Didn't he talk about how their remote viewing team in the military was unable to harm anyone when they tried it? It couldn't affect, like, Saddam Hussein.
Yes, but I've really got to tell you, I've talked to other remote viewers, and when you start talking to them about this subject, some will deny that that can be done, but others invite you to listen between the lines while they don't deny it.
Okay, well, the creator of all created all, correct?
I believe that.
Okay, so he even, or she, the power created everything, even evil. And it's because it created it, it's more powerful. So I believe there is a prime directive from that creator. And that this only good can be worked by this. Even witches will say that if they try to do a bad spell on someone, that the evil comes back to them tenfold.
Yes, but they also have ways to protect themselves from that bounce.
Yeah, they protect themselves with the power of good.
Well, I don't know how you do that if you have evil intent to begin with.
Well, they work the spell so that it's not...
But see, I talked to some really good... I know some really good witches. Trust me on this.
Well, why don't you talk to Evelyn about this, Paglini?
Guess what her opinion is. Guess what?
What?
She's going to be on the program next week. I will ask her.
Please ask her, Art, because I really believe this is your destiny. I think you are going to go down in the history books as being really important in this field.
I appreciate the call, huh?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Important in this field.
Hello there. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Well, I was just thinking about earlier, you're saying it might be the prayer or the conscience.
Now, wouldn't that be a neat experiment? I mean, if you were going to proceed with this, you could try a purely religious effect, and then you could also try a purely non-religious concentration.
Exactly. Well, I'm saying maybe they should go to the Vatican or something where the Pope is having one of these mass prayers that he always has and, like, monitor it there or something, you know? You know, I was just thinking that, you know, maybe they could do that to find out what it really is.
Or maybe, yeah, maybe when the Pope has a mass prayer of some kind,
yeah.
Princeton could correlate that with on a graph, and we could find out if it has the same effect. Or we could do that experiment here if we decide to proceed with these experiments.
Yeah, see, I think that'd be like a great idea to try, you know. And, you know, I'm a long-time listener, you know, first-time caller, but I think this subject just really, because I participated last night, and I mean, this subject is just mind-boggling.
Have you seen the graph yet?
No, I have not, actually.
Oh, man, are you in for a surprise?
I just got off work, actually.
You're in for a surprise. Remember when you look at it that at the bottom you're looking at times, and you'll find that it covers a two-day period in total, September 18th through the 19th. And when you get to about 10 o'clock, in the 10 o'clock hour, 10 through 11, which is exactly when we did these experiments, whoosh. I mean, whoosh, it just goes off the chart almost.
Oh, geez.
I know. So
I think that's crazy.
It is crazy.
Cool.
So yeah. If you are able to get to a computer in the next day or so, it's right at the top of the webpage under What's New. It's the first item.
Okay, cool. I will definitely check that out.
All right.
I appreciate you taking my call.
And I appreciate your making it. Thank you very much. All right. What a night. Well, what a day. And during the day yesterday, if you didn't hear it earlier, Crystal Gayle came to lunch. Guess who came to lunch? Crystal Gayle. And when she came, she brought a record which is so obviously about this program. Listen carefully to the words, because I'm going to close with this. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Now listen carefully. Ta-ta.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening. Ooh, we're listening to you. Yeah.